Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning, this is Professor Applewhite. You are tuned in to Student to Teacher to Student Internet Talk Radio. And we have some interesting guests that will be joining us this morning. We hope you stay tuned in. We've got a call-in number for you. Get your pens and get a pen and a pad of paper and jot down this number because you're bound to hear something very exciting that you may want to comment on within the next hour on our show. The telephone number is 646-727-3758. Now put a 1 in front of that, most of you. Again, that number is 1-646-727-3758. Wow, I am so pleased to be with you. God is great. We have an interesting show today. We've got callers coming in. Let's go ahead and welcome some of our guests coming on in this morning. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. And who do I have the pleasure of hearing from this morning? Hello? You're calling from 480-213. Hello.
Good morning. This is Dorothy.
Oh, good morning. You're not just Dorothy. Dorothy. You're somebody very special. Are you the resource consultant for White Apple Institute?
Oh, yes.
All righty. And we appreciate you joining us this morning and co-hosting our show. Are you ready to give us a description of the show this morning? We're going to go right back over part two. Do teachers burn out as quickly as students drop out? So if you could be ready to read that, get ready to read that description in just a moment. We'll come back to you, Dorothy. Let's see who else is calling in this morning. We may have a few students here. Hold on just a second, Dorothy. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite on Student to Teacher to Student.
Nazim Rashid here.
Nazim Rashid, the personal development consultant for White Apple Institute?
Yes, you're correct.
All right. Took you a moment there to know that you're acknowledged, my dear friend, my dear brother, and certainly one of the greatest co-hosts that anyone could ask for. We're going to have Dorothy read the description of our show this morning. Do teachers burn out as quickly as students drop out? We're on part two of that. Well, we have some things to highlight. Last week we had some technical difficulties, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that was pretty frustrating for some of us, but because we know how important we know how important the show is to so many listeners out there. We had still over 800 listeners. That's hung in there all through the entire show trying to hear any drops of wisdom from us. Although we had technical difficulties at Block Talk Radio, certainly apologizes from the deepest recesses of their heart for our technical difficulties last week. We hope that those same listeners are joining us today. And Dorothy, why don't you repeat that number for our guest listeners to call in on?
Okay, it's 1-646-727-3758.
So you can call in that number and respond to any of the hosts, the guests that you get, the co-host that you hear from this morning, and any of the guest speakers that you hear this morning. Feel free to call in and respond to anything that they're saying. We have a few more callers coming in. Let's go ahead and welcome them in this morning. There's a call here, again, another, looks like another Arizona number, 480-200. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
This is Maria Ramirez.
Maria Ramirez. And tell us what you're, Ms. Ramirez, it's so great to hear from you. We hear that you were in New York not too long ago.
Yes.
Did you enjoy the big city, the Big Apple?
Yes, I did.
That's wonderful. And I guess that you're going to tell us, there's one thing I want to hear from you about New York. New York was the greatest advocate. They had the greatest advocates that came through the city of New York for advocating for people with disabilities. And I'm just hoping that you're going to say that the street curbs, when you go down the streets of New York, that you can get on and off the curbs very accessibly, very successfully. Is that right?
Is that what? I'm sorry.
The streets, when you're driving your wheelchair down the street, can you see that people in wheelchairs are able to get on and off the curbs without any problem?
No, it's very difficult.
Oh, no, you're kidding. So that means we still have a lot of work to do for people that use wheelchairs as vehicles to get from one point to another. So listeners out there need to pay attention to what we're doing at White Apple Institute. Contact us. Let us know in your particular area, whether you're in the United States or abroad, whether or not there's some compliance happening for people with disabilities. We must continue to advocate. We have spent a tremendous amount of energy and money for advocates all over the world to try to make things, to improve the condition for those born with disabilities or those that are injured or become ill late in life and still strive to have a quality of life by going to school and participating in the workforce. So we cannot sleep until every single person with a disability, whether it's a visible disability or non-visible disability, until they can access quality education and enter a quality job. We cannot sleep. Do you agree with me, Maria, on that?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. And we hope that in some small way, would you, in Spanish, would you tell us a little bit about what has happened in the field of disability? Now, I'm going to come back to you, give you a moment to think about that. But I want you to say something to our listeners in Spanish about disability. Maria Ramirez, for some of you who have not heard from her before, is always on the show listening. And so this morning is the first morning I'm going to ask her to actually say something in Spanish about people with disabilities and encourage those out there not to give up. Well, we have another caller online calling in from the 530 area code. I'll come back to you, Maria. Stay tuned on Students, Teachers to Students Internet Radio.
Good morning, Danita. It's
Professor
Jerry and Donna.
White. Hello. Are you calling from 530?
Yes. This is Jerry Govan.
Okay. Jerry Govan, our advisory board members, Jerry and Donna Govan. And where are you today?
We're
you guys
in Lake,
are always traveling around. That's great.
Lake Tahoe, California, South Shore.
Lake Tahoe, California, South Shore. We appreciate you calling in, and I understand you're vacationing there. Is that right?
We always try to make business and pleasure combine.
There you go. And we want to teach more people how to do that, to have a balanced view of how to conduct business and how to have a good time. Jerry Govan, you are a great example for us. Jerry Govan, listeners, Jerry, can you tell us a little bit about non-visible disabilities that people have and how incredible your life story is, if you don't mind me saying, with non-visible disabilities? Because you look like the picture of health, but you've had your own struggles, haven't you?
Well, you never know what's going on in your inner body from some injury that looked like nothing happened, and next thing you know that your colon needs attention, but it doesn't have cancer, but you can't function without having it reworked. And so sometimes these things happen. I was on the tennis court in a third set in a match, and I told the person, I can't finish, something's going on in my body, and it just appeared. And fortunately, the right people appeared to help heal that and take me through that situation where my colon had what they called it, diverticulosis, but most people would say, well, that sounds like something entirely different. I had my colon had really expanded in a wrong direction and was very dangerous, and it was a pocket of danger, really, and they removed that, and then I went through the healing process and how I came back, and today I have no problems at all with it. And so each time we go through nature's tests, like going into high altitude where our heart gets a little overload, nature gives us tests so that we go on to learn how to function with it and keep our balance in the healing process. And the keeping that's really taking the fear out of it. When you take the fear out of the healing, the body works more naturally. And we do a lot of training on just removing fear or removing anger. And those things allow the body to heal faster once you've taken charge of that.
And that doesn't mean that you'll have a perfect body, but certainly in the design of our body, we are perfect as far as our spiritual being. You agree?
Absolutely, absolutely.
But as you said earlier, the imperfection of the human body still exists, and we need to address that. And there are a lot of people out there listening, Jerry, that if indeed they ran into a situation like that, unfortunately we have those that would have given up and said, well, I'm not going any further, my colon's out, I'm over 50 years old, and I'm not going to even think about pursuing writing my book or entering the workforce, going to school, any of the things that I wanted to do before, just because I'm sick now. And they gave up. And Jerry and Donna, I'm so proud of you that in these imperfect situations that you've run into, that you still rolled up your sleeves and said, I'm going to go into the healing, and I'm going to do this with everything that I've got.
And we have been very blessed by the doctors, and Donna's always been my in many of the recent things, as you know, has been the sixth doctor. But we were been very blessed with doctors who had total faith, total empathy, and kept the whole balance process moving through it. I can't thank them enough. In fact, the other day I ran into a list of all their names, and each one had a separate, there were five of them, and they each had a separate specialty, and it was interesting. It reminded me that three of them were born in India, and one was born in Kuwait, and the other was born in Boston. And so and it was interesting to tease a little bit the Boston guy, you know. Well, at least we got one guy that got all through this. It was from the United States, but it just demonstrates how integrated our society is with different people from different cultures in the world, and how we all work on the same pattern when we don't have any fears or prejudice interfering with us.
Fear of diversity, the fear of diversity. There is definitely a fear out there. Teachers, Now, getting back to our theme, because you're going to say, well, what does that have to do with do teachers burn out as quickly as students drop out? One of the major burnouts that we have with teachers, and you might have heard this on the first show we did on this part one, is that the administration does not support teachers. This has been through a number of surveys, research studies, all of our listeners out there, that have validated that as the reason for teacher burnout. And then we have student dropout, and the major reason for that was academic failure. But for teachers, just a moment, I want to stay with what Jerry just said to you. He told us about a non-visible disability, and you heard me say that if you looked at Jerry, even during the time he was going through the healing, he was trying his best to project a good visual of health and of healing, if you asked him. Teachers, we encourage you, because we know how burned out you may become because of the lack of administrative support and many other factors with classroom behavioral issues and whatever. We know that in an instant, it's easy to say, I don't want to do this anymore. Well, I've got ulcers anyway. Well, I've got diverticulosis. I've got irritable bowel syndrome. Now, some of you might be smiling and saying, what does that have to do? Oh, my goodness. But you'd be surprised, Jerry and the rest of our listeners out there, how many teachers give up because of those particular medical diagnoses, and they feel that they can just give up because they're already burned up. Did you hear that? They feel that they can already give up because they're already burned up. And so now this is their out, Jerry and Nazim and all other co-hosts out there. This is a reason. Anybody got something else to say on that?
Well, Danita, I want to just remind people that my favorite little niche is that you're responsible to the students, and the student has to have their own responsibility. And when
wow.
we as adult or teacher take too much responsibility for them, that's where that concern and burnout interferes with us. And that's a very tight rope to walk in the balance, particularly with teachers who are teaching younger students, because there is an area there that the responsible for always has to be present, because the child itself isn't maturing into that area. It is maturing into that area to be responsible for themselves, but they haven't reached it yet. And the same
thing
happens in homes.
Stay with that point, because I think we're going to come back and you're going to hear some other things on our show this morning that are going to validate what you said. But here's something that I would like our listeners to ponder on. You mentioned just a moment ago that especially with the younger ones in the classroom, I've got some news for you. Professor Applewhite is going to tell you that the burnout rate is even higher in collegiate settings, and I'll tell you why. We have an increase in mental health issues coming onto the college campus. We have an increase of students that have gone through K through 12 with disabilities. I'm talking about mental health issues that have been labeled as autistic and now begin to be labeled again, relabeled as bipolar. And schizophrenia, the onset of schizophrenia is 17 years old plus. Okay, now that's just an average, listeners. So what I'm saying to you is that in our college classrooms, we have similar behavioral issues that cause this burnout and burned up syndrome that we see in teachers. And unfortunately, because when they come across illnesses, non-visible illnesses that are stress-related, that they begin to say, I'm burned out and I want out of this situation. Oh, my goodness, the doctor said I have an ulcer. Here's my way out. Nazim, you got something to say on that?
Well, it does happen all the time. You know, it really does happen all the time. And so that's why we need more support mechanisms out here. That's why Applewhite Institute is here. And there's others out here also where we can point the way to get relief somewhere. But you have to have, you know, you have to know where your own personal relief valve is.
Yes.
That's important.
You know, for a moment, any of the emails that some of our listeners have received as in response to their inquiries, the mission statement for White Apple Institute is somewhere in there. And if one of our listeners or anybody on the advisory board would mind, I'll come back to it later, to at least pull up the mission statement, because I want someone to read the mission statement for White Apple Institute. And it's at the bottom of any of the emails that you've received or on the website of whiteappleinstitute.org. Without further ado, I'm going to have Dorothy read the description of our show, and we're going to come back to you and your comments. Okay, Nazim?
Sure.
Okay, and we're hoping that Habibullah Salim will join us this morning and some of our other guests that we've asked to come on board. So, Dorothy, are you ready?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
The description is, do you know anyone who has dropped out of school and still become successful? Please share your story with us and inspire our listeners. We never know who is listening and become inspired by what they hear on our show. Teachers at all levels will benefit from the research and observations of your host, Professor Apple. Several co-hosts and guests will share. Interestingly, most students drop out because of academic failure and the overall lack of support from parents, teachers, and community leaders. However, teachers burn out more because of the lack of administrative support. You are invited to listen and participate in our discussion so we can find ways to minimize teacher burnout and student dropout together. President Obama, we agree. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Special thanks to our co-host, Nazim Rashid, author of Reconnecting, Jerry and Donna McGovern's Take the E Out of Ego and Go, Habibullah Salim's Poetry for Educators, Wendy Duncan of Farmers Insurance, our special guest, Dr. Martha Bergen, professor of sociology and communications at Gateway College in Phoenix, Arizona. And we express an attitude of gratitude for all our listeners and sponsors. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Dorothy. What a great description of our show this morning. And I certainly want to reinforce again, as we express an attitude of gratitude for all of the people who have been part of discussing and building our show, that attitude of gratitude has been inspired by one of the Blog Talk Radio hosts, Jewel Diamond Taylor. Jewel Diamond Taylor has been a friend to me and a friend of White Apple Institute for, certainly over 25 years. We had a cable television show in Los Angeles doing very much the same thing that we're doing now, with the Student to Teacher to Student show. So we certainly acknowledge you, Jewel Diamond Taylor, if you're out there listening as you hop on plane to plane, giving speeches everywhere. Beautiful, beautiful lady. And certainly we wish to continue on with the show now, because you've talked a lot about this teacher burnout and student dropout issue with me, Dorothy. And I know you're very concerned. Do you have any further comments that you'd like to make on that particular subject? Do you know anybody who's dropped out of school and still become successful?
Not right at the no.
At the moment.
But as I heard you all talking, I remember the radio broadcast as I was driving in the car about how teachers are being brought in from the Philippines to teach in Alabama because they're not. These are for younger students, of course, I think. I mean, maybe they're for college students as well, but they aren't finding what, I guess the teachers in that area have burned out, so they're bringing in other people from Philippines to teach.
Back to that diversity issue that Jerry Govan was talking about, that, I mean, you look about in the medical field and you're seeing doctors coming in from India, and I can't remember the other place that he noted, but the bottom line is that we are recruiting, and there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with recruiting and having a diversified force. What becomes the issue with that is that there is a cultural shock that happens to anyone that comes in from another country or another place in the world, and they're trying to teach children here values that our children, unfortunately, have not been exposed to, the majority of our students have not been exposed to the value system of education. Isn't that right, Nazim?
Oh, yeah, you're right about that.
So what can, yeah, go ahead. Somebody has something else.
Well, I have your mission statement here on up on the computer if you'd like to have it read. This is Donna.
I would love for you to read, Donna Govan, I'd love for you to read the mission statement of White Apple Institute, what we all believe in. And this is where we are, listeners, and we want you to really listen carefully to what we do as a group. Thank you, Donna. Go ahead.
And after this, I'd also like to share about my daughter who only went through sixth grade, and she's very successful.
All right. Go right ahead.
Okay. The mission of White Apple Institute is to enhance unconditional love, peace, and healing for all, quote, at-risk, unquote, adult learners with disabilities seeking mental, physical, financial, and spiritual stability, regardless of religion, gender, or culture, in order to succeed in post-secondary education and the workforce.
That is our goal, Donna, is that the people that come to us are usually not those that have dropped out of school and still become successful. Because somewhere in that individual, they've had this inner resource, but they've been able to still roll up their sleeves and come back. We want those that are having difficulty even tapping into that inner wisdom, tapping into what the great Jesus from Galilee said, the kingdom of God is within you. Talking about even Siddhartha Gautama, the Buddha, recognized for him saying that the enlightenment that you seek is within you. All of these things, it sounds like your daughter, is that who said your daughter?
Right.
Was able to tap into that inner resource. Tell us a little bit about her.
I will do that in 2 seconds. I also wanted to mention we were watching the news this morning, and there is something on the news about a person, a young person, who switched from Muslim to Christianity and is having some difficulties with her family. We've
mm-hmm.
just met in the last month, even through you, people who switched from, you know, religions to Muslim. And people, you know, this is the type of thing you're talking about with cultural diversity, that in the United States there should not, you know, be within our belief systems that a person cannot continue on to live their life just because of a different choice of their religion. As you were just quoting, it comes from the same source within us. And so I'll just mention that because I think people will be noticing that there's going to be some public knowledge about the difficulties that people have even related to their religion in our present-day society. One of the things that I did early on in my life was to step outside of the organized Christianity and open myself to more religions such as, you know, Buddhism and Catholicism, because we were Protestant, and open my children's minds that there is no one only way to believe. You can follow a particular system, and yet metaphysical has a lot of answers. Every different background has a lot of answers. And mm-hmm. so one of my daughters was in sixth grade when I moved to Puerto Rico, and everybody spoke Spanish, and the schools were in Spanish. And even though they have English as a secondary language, she was way too old to begin school with no knowledge of Spanish.
Yes, yes.
So she didn't go to school. And,
right. But she dropped out because of not necessarily academic failure, but because of cultural shock.
Yeah,
is that what
exactly.
You're saying? Uh-huh.
And she didn't drop out. She just went to work with me, and she was so intelligent and so trained already because she had already been around my office for so many years as a child. And so she just moved right on into just becoming a part of our office staff. And so when she moved back to the United States when she was 14, I believe, to Washington, D.C., and started working in an office there, and now she lives in Los Angeles, she decided to go ahead and get her GED and studied, got a very high score, went on to college, and she's now an accountant. But as you were mentioning, this all came from within her because I made sure that my children, if at all possible, didn't have any prejudices to hold them back from themselves or from anything outside of themselves so that they just could follow what came to them as their purpose and their desire to succeed.
Wow. Now, listeners, that's an atypical response, but it does exist. And what we have a show coming up in the future about homeschooling. So in many ways, the dropout that Donna and other listeners may have been exposed to through their children or they themselves have dropped out of school for a variety of reasons that are not academic failure related, but because of the lack of stimulation, intellectual stimulation within the classroom, within the educational system. And so they become bored, and boredom breeds all kinds of issues. The same happens with academic failure in the same sense, is that if I can't succeed here, I will find a pathway to succeed on. And so my desire is to be successful. Every human being wants to be successful, especially as they are growing. And so even though we talk a lot about adult learners with disabilities, the reason why Nazim Rashid is so successful, a co-host on the show, is because he acknowledges that reconnecting with the child within, that inner resource that your daughter, Donna, has already. But without further ado, only because we have 28 minutes remaining on the show, and we have other callers calling in, and we're encouraging you to please call in with your comments. But I want to give Nazim Rashid has some interesting things that he's going to want to share with us about this teacher burnout, student dropout issue. And he's going to integrate some of the things that you already have said. So, Nazim, without further ado, we've got 28 minutes left on the show and still got to get some announcements in and some synthesis of what we said this morning. We are hungry for what you have to say, dear brother.
Oh, well, thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
Interesting. Yes, well, we already mentioned the lack of support that contributes to teacher burnout. We already mentioned that. And it's very important to understand that when you have two teachers, call them teacher A, teacher B. You know, teacher A, they both have the same education. They both love the students and love teaching and so forth. But you have teacher A that burns out and teacher B does not. You wonder why, you know, one has an issue, one does not. And the same situation, same kind of school, and everything's the same. All the environmental factors are the same. And you wonder why one burns out and one does not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you look further, you find out that one has more skills, more tools, internal tools, than the other one. So you have to ask yourself that, well, what's going on here? You know, we thought all we had to do is make sure that they're paid well, and they're loved by the administration and so forth, and the students weren't too rowdy in the classroom. We thought that's all we had to do. Well, no, that's not all. That's why that the responsibility of the teacher's burnout has to first rest with the teachers themselves.
Uh-huh,
and
uh-huh.
So this is where we have the need to have a high self-esteem, a high self-image, a sense of optimism, faith, and a real good sense that they know that they'll be taken care of.
Uh-huh.
That's important and so forth. And so that's why teacher A and teacher B have different levels of stress control in the classroom, because one has those tools and one does not. So that's why that they have to really feel good inside themselves, have to have a good estimate of themselves, a high estimate, a high image, that they have to see themselves being successful in the classroom, connecting with the students, connecting with the administration, connecting with the parents, and having a real good partnership with all the above, and making sure that this student has all the tools they need to have in order to succeed. They have to actually see all that before they go into the classroom setting. They have to see them being a part of the process. They have to see the students being part of the process. And
yes.
So and then when having that, and also having the faith, just knowing the vision, their vision of success, it will be realized. That's why faith and visualization and self-image, they're all kind of swore around, kind of the same kind of creature there, because it's all about having that insight, and in claiming that vision, claiming that picture, and saying this is going to happen. Matter of fact, beyond that, saying it's already happened. You see? And like Dr. Dyer says, we think from the end. Think from the end. So therefore, the teachers say, okay, I already see the student graduating. I already see myself doing well in the classroom. I already see the administration supporting me. I already see that happening. Everybody's wonderful. Everybody loves one another. Everybody's already supportive. The parents are right there being a partner in the process. And so it's already good. They see all that before you even go in there. You see, so you have these elements. You have self-esteem, self-image. You have optimism. Now, optimism, they have to have a firm belief that the best is possible and probable in their lives. That's the definition of optimism. They have to have a strong belief that this is probable. This is going to happen to them. So that's why we have these concepts of self-image, self-esteem, optimism, and faith. They're all swirled around there. And what happens when you have those elements in your life, you're less likely to have this burnout going on. Now, of course, environmental factors play a major part. We have that. But when you have two teachers and one have is experiencing the burnout and the other one does not, you have to ask yourself, what's going on? And that's what I'm talking about. We need to have more in our teacher body and more in ourselves.
You know, Nazeem, when I hear you speak like this, what comes to mind is something, the theme of your book, so to speak, of and ladies and gentlemen, the author of Reconnecting is Nazeem Rashid. His book is soon to come out, press, and so if you're interested in learning more about some of the themes that he had just shared with us, please contact White House Institute on a little later and discuss how you can connect with us for not only Nazeem's book, but also Jerry and Donna Govan's book. And we also have a chat line running, and you can also chat into Blog Talk Radio to hear from us. Now, Maria is still standing by for some of our Spanish speakers to discuss a summary of how people can be encouraged, even with disabilities, to go forward. So she's going to give a very motivational message that is going to I think it's just going to excite us. Here's what my theme, what I heard you bringing out. Teachers are still students. That even when we step into the classroom, the same responsibilities are there for us as they are for students. And Jerry Govan talks about that a lot. The student has a responsibility and the in saying that, what I'm trying to reinforce here is that teachers out there listening, you are students, and the same things that you're teaching your students need to be involved in the same thing you teach yourselves when you walk out into that classroom. As Nazeem says, you need to be able to look at yourself and say, I am valuable. I am a good person. I'm a good teacher. All of the visualization exercises you may want to do with your students, you have to be responsible enough and hungry enough, if you will, to apply those same concepts to yourself. Anybody have a comment on that?
That's actually very interesting because I've known quite a few adults who spend more time helping the younger people or their students. And when it came right down to it, when we were working with them, they feel like those students are more important than themselves.
Wow.
And we do classes on self-worth, as you know, and self-esteem. Yes. And when we ask a person to stand in front of the mirror and tell themselves positive comments or I love you directly into the mirror, it is amazing that sometimes people haven't really, just like you said, turned that around and saw themselves as valuable.
Yeah.
I'll have it mentioned just to compare. Mothers sometimes have this situation where...
Oh, you took the words out of my mouth. Go ahead, and because isn't the mother the...
Yep.
When we say mother on this show, listen, about anyone who is responsible as the primary caregiver. So it doesn't matter whether you're an adopting mother or a foster mother, you're still falling right in the same line of what Donna is going to tell you right now. Go ahead, Donna. What about this parent as a teacher?
Well, you know, we won't go into amazing depth here because, of course, it's a whole workshop to do what Nazim is talking about, to bring up that deeper value of your personal self, trusting yourself, caring about yourself, seeing yourself as valuable when you step in front of a group or when you're coaching your child or coaching another person. And that is the subconscious. You started off the show mentioning, you know, the something along the line of invisible disabilities sometimes. And lack of self-esteem, as Nazim has said in his book, that child within, if that child within just does not ever recognize the value of that growing up and seeing themselves as valuable as part of that growing up process, then
yes,
we will find ourselves still going back to patterns which are fairly immature, like giving up is an immature approach to solving a situation. If your child did that, you would encourage them. If a student does that, you say, you know, you can do your homework, you can finish this, you can make that
pass
test.
Math. You can pass math. Isn't that one of the biggest ones? You know, you can, you know, parents have come in with me from the high school level, college level, Donna, and sat there and made an excuse. They're saying, well, I didn't do good in math. I wasn't a very good student either. And so already giving that back door, the student, well, I can't do it because parents can do it. So what do you want from me? You know what I mean?
Well, not only that, this is Jerry, that Ed? Often the parent thinks that when they send their kid off to school, it's now the school's responsibility, and they haven't learned their side of the equation, that they are still the responsible parent. And that is really important to really add to the equation, because sometimes that's a missing conception. It's just a total misconception of parents. Well, they go to school, that's where they're supposed to get this and this, and I'm not supposed to have to be involved. And a lot of parents who don't show up at PTA meetings and just show up at parent conferences with a misconception have that problem. And we need to reach more of those people in this whole process, just like you're doing with this show, Danita.
Wow. You know, when you, I just can't reserve myself from announcing to the listeners out there that in a very short time, and I say within the year, you are going to hear us start announcing where all of us as a group, as the White Apple Institute Advisory Board, will be going out and doing workshops, seminars all across the United States and possibly even abroad, depending on the response. We will also have our books ready for sale. We have them ready right now for sale, as you'll hear from Donna. From Dorothy in just a moment, with about 17 minutes remaining on the show. I just don't want anyone to ever feel that their story is not a valid story. Now, we have a lot of this, listeners that come on, and they don't say anything, and we accept that. We're just so happy that you're even listening to what we're doing. But we know that you have some stories about people who have dropped out and become very successful, who have went through insurmountable difficulties in life, and for some reason that inner core of motivation has helped them to reach their goals, and knowing that in reaching their goals that they're not finished yet, right, Nazim?
That's right.
They're not finished. It's when we reach that goal, you and I can certainly attest to the fact, because I grew up in the projects, and I mean the worst projects supposedly in the United States, which is in Watts in L.A., California, and born in New York and raised up in Bronx as a younger child. And so there's always this inner core that we can tap into, listeners, that you don't have to drop out of school and you don't have to drop out of life. You don't have to burn out teachers or become burned up. You have a phone line to White Apple Institute. You can call us, and we will be glad to help you to get through, because our mission is to have faith in the educational system, to build that up, to join hands with President Obama and saying, yes, we can make change happen, no matter what your political issues are. Right, Nazim?
That's right, absolutely. That's got nothing to do with it.
That's right. That's right.
In the,
Go ahead, Naveen.
This is Jerry. I wanted to share that it's so important for your listeners who had positive experiences that what works, call in and share those, because that's the reinforcement that other teachers need. One of the things I learned when I did the Hollywood High Dropout Program in 1986 was that as the instructors took time to share what worked that day, everybody benefited the next day because we all had different perspectives and we were learning from each other and how important that is among teachers in keeping the reinforcement and our spirits up as teachers so that we're there every day.
Yes, yes, Jerry. And, you know, I sometimes, and I won't say that it's criticized, but sometimes I receive feedback from my colleagues that teach with me and about the fact that every single class I ask the students to grade me, to give me a grade, and I do it with total anonymity. I do not want them to put their name on the paper on the sheet. I want them to tell me how I can improve the course. Now, I do that at the beginning, as Naveen has spoke about. At the beginning of the classroom, I ask students, what do you want to learn? Okay? Now, Naveen calls that, what do you desire? All right? So, so we've already established that. And then at the end of the course, I get some feedback about whether I reached or met their expectations. And a lot of teachers have said, what do you need that for? You don't need to do that. But why not? Because it does just what Jerry Govan said a moment ago, teachers. It allows us to reflect on ourselves and to come back the next day or after your spring vacation or summer vacations with a new attitude, an attitude of gratitude that I can stand in front of the students in front of me and in front of my own mirror and feel good about myself.
That's
contagious, Naveen.
Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely. And also, when teachers are in front of the classroom, you know, they need to envision themselves in the chairs with the students because they are learning like the students are, see. So we're all students. So I tell students all the time, I'm out there with you. You see, I'm just being used right now. I'm just a vehicle for this information. I don't have the information. I'm just a conduit for it, you see, and so forth. I'm out there with you listening just like you are. You see?
But
so
Naveen, many of these teachers, when I say that to them, when I've been teacher workshops helping them to improve themselves, they need their feedback to me when I say that you're learning something. They'll say, if I act like I'm learning something from students, then it causes them to minimize my position. So I don't know about this learning from my students idea. And that's what kind of feedback I'm getting back.
Well, they need to take the E out of ego.
And if you listeners are out there, and some of you may be shaking your heads and saying, what did he say? Or some of you may say, that's right. What we're talking about is Jerry and Donna Govan's book, Take the E Out of Ego. And I appreciate that, Naveen. That's exactly what it is, isn't it? It's an ego thing that they can't learn from anybody else. But students are teachers and teachers are students. I can't remember any time in my life where I have not been a student. I love being a student. I think that's what makes me a good teacher. Other than, I do. Maybe that's too much ego.
I think we're back to esteem, though, don't you think so? This is Donna. In the book, Take the E Out of Ego and Go, we emphasize the go with the exclamation point because one of the reasons that we feel held back, as we've been talking, is self-esteem will help we have some sort of a blinder on, in a sense, you know, as you mentioned, different reasons that we hold ourselves back, excuses or patterns from our parents or our other teachers, you know, it goes on, and there really isn't any way to stop it except for taking that new step forward, which you're really encouraging here, and giving new ideas on how to start a fresh start. And that's what we kind of emphasize in different angles, Jerry's fun stories throughout his book. Our friends up here read it while we were here, and he said, you know what, you should tell people about your book that you're going to need to read this twice. First, you're going to read it through fast because you're going to enjoy the story so much you can't wait till the next one. But then you're going to notice that there is this these questions at the end of the chapter that you wanted to skip over because you wanted to just enjoy the fascination of the stories. And he said, this is a little book, but it's quite in-depth when you actually
look. Oh, my goodness. I can't tell you how true. Tell your friends that that is a true description of how I read your book, is that the first time I read your book, I understood that you were giving us some very, very good examples of Jerry's life, okay? And I even said to myself, take the E out of ego. There's a lot of ego in here for Jerry. That's the first thing that hit my mind and my spirit. And
exactly.
I'm so glad that I reread the book, because when I took the E out of ego thinking about, well, these are all Jerry stories, then I said to myself, but let me see what wisdom is coming out of these stories that are Jerry stories. So I went back through and I read it again, and I see so many interesting points. Nazim and I were also discussing this because that's the first impression he had. There's so many good points about taking this into, especially my classroom, because I teach psychology, and actually asking students to read these stories and reflect back on their own experiences. So, Jerry, I really appreciate your book and your stories, okay? And Azim's a book, of course, in Reconnecting. We've got some dynamite people on our advisory board, ladies and gentlemen, all you listeners out there, that if you ever want to talk to any of us, we're going to let Dorothy take over now because we've got 8 minutes remaining. We still have to get Maria on. Is Maria ready to give us a summary of her experience and a motivational thing for our Spanish-speaking listeners? Are you ready yet, Maria?
Not really.
Not ready yet? Okay. All right, I want you to, when you get ready to do this, I want you to talk to me and just tell me why you think that this work should continue. Now, you've told me many times that you didn't want me to give up doing this work, that this work was important for many of the people in Mexico where you come from. All right? So that's the way I want you to talk to me in just a moment. I want you to just talk to me, and so that will minimize any kind of discomfort that you feel. Because, ladies and gentlemen, when you hear Maria, you're going to hear one of the greatest inspiring people that she has come up and really rolled up her sleeves against many people who told her you could never be part of a major corporation. And she is, ladies and gentlemen, she is heading the general membership of White Apple Institute in her life now. So Maria, get ready, because Dorothy's going to give her resource information, and then we're going to come back to you, sweetheart. Go ahead, Dorothy. Take it away. We've got 7 minutes remaining.
Okay. I wanted to remind everyone that our listeners that you can register and make comments to the radio show on the website, and that we have membership for White Apple Institute to benefit teachers out there. They range from $12 to $288 annually, and that we operate from donations and with volunteer staff. Soon we will have an application on the website at whiteappleinstitute.org, so you can fill it out. That's a work progress. That isn't complete yet, as far as I know. It's not ready, but
I appreciate you so much for saying that, because sometimes I forget we do need funding to keep on operating. Okay, and it's so exciting to me when I see all the listeners responding out there. You know, we got some response from a student in Nigeria this week, and just with all kinds of motivational words, and he can't get to the internet at this specific time in the morning where he's at, but he's writing at least. And Dorothy, you know, I forget sometimes, in order to continue working with him, he's coming to the United States where what do you call it, hosting him. We're providing access for him to come and study in America. And we have many students and teachers who are abroad, who are from America, who need to hear our radio broadcast. So we need money to keep on going. And so I appreciate you being that resource consultant to tell us that. What other resources do you have to share with us today?
I just want to remind everybody Wendy's phone number.
Wendy Duncan, yes.
Yeah, one of our sponsors. I didn't mention her phone number earlier, and her phone number is 480-620-6013.
Okay.
And
say that number one more, Dorothy. Say that number one more. There's a little break up there.
480. 720-6013.
And why would our listeners want to contact Wendy Duncan?
Because she has farmers insurance products that may be helpful to them.
Okay, all right. She certainly helped us out a lot with also educational materials. So any of you teachers out there that are interested in educational materials, she has a tremendous amount that she's already donated to White Apple Institute, ranging from a film called Extraordinary People, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Things, great film you can show in your classroom, and it is free to you teachers. We have many other educational materials. We've got a whole array of things coming up for February, Black History Month. So make sure you contact us. Dorothy, I'm sorry I didn't give that to you as a resource, but that just came in.
Great.
Mm-hmm. What else do you have to share with us? Anything special? I know you're going to harp on us about that library again.
Well, I mean, our community libraries have been very helpful to me in the past.
That's right. That's
the
right.
times I didn't have a computer, I didn't have funds for a computer at home, and I would go to the library and I'd get help from the people there and use their tools, and it's just tremendous. So,
so there's no reason for
it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, well, I didn't want to forget to give people the White Apple local phone number either.
Okay, go right ahead. Go right ahead.
480-659-8582.
Because our headquarters are in Arizona, however, we reach out all over the world. All over the world, Dorothy. And I think, you know, I understand every show you always talk about that library, and I know that that's a real important thing for you because you've even met some of our students here at White Apple Institute and encouraged them to go to the library. Because, as you said, if, you know, I hear a lot of people saying, oh, I can't be on the show, I can't do this because I don't have a computer. But they have a phone, and they can listen to the show, right?
Right.
And they can also go to the library and get on the computer there.
Yes.
And even
and
if they can't...
to other shows.
Right. They can listen to the past shows. And still that's motivating. That's how, you know, that student that wrote from Nigeria, that's what he said, that he had already, he had been on the show and heard the great work that we're doing and encourages us to continue doing this. Jerry and Donna, anything from your end that you want to close our show with? Because we just have about 2 minutes remaining, and I want Maria to at least come in. She can just read maybe the mission statement in Spanish or something. Okay.
Well, habla un poquito español, Maria. So, por favor, dice su información.
Okay.
That's Donna speaking in Spanish.
All right. I know my Spanish is not even that good, but I know that there are a lot of Spanish-speaking listeners out there that would love to hear just a few words from you, Maria, our dear Maria. Can you tell us just something that will encourage us to continue listening to White Apple Institute on the radio?
Okay, lo que yo puedo decir, Maria Ramírez, que aunque tengamos problemas en la vida, este programa
That's great.
Este programa para mí ha sido y es de mucha bendición. Cada vez que yo escucho los sábados a las 10 de la mañana, puedo recibir
Wonderful.
Palabras de sabiduría de todos los que hablan y es una bendición para mi vida porque me da la fortaleza de seguir adelante y les invito a que ustedes hagan lo mismo. Cualquier problema que tengan, escuchen este programa para que puedan recibir, como yo recibo, palabras de aliento para seguir adelante cada día de mi vida.
Muy bien.
Oh, gracias, María.
De nada.
Thank you so much. Everybody, let's give her a hand. Let's give her a hand. We got to give her a hand here. Okay? All right.
Thank you.
Got to give her a hand. So much, Maria. And now, without further ado, I've got to close the show. We've got less than a minute. remaining in Nazim Rashid's beautiful music will be coming in to close the show. I have one thing that I want to say to you guys. It's a quote that actually it's my quote. I wrote it, and, you know, when I say my quote, I feel that I operate totally with inspiration from God and whatever name you call God. I say, let your inner voice and thoughts influence your outer voice and actions. And that is from Professor Applewhite. Thank you so much for listening, and tune in next week as we continue our discussion on teacher burnout, student dropout. Hello. Take it away, Nazim, on the horn. That's the phone. Have
all
a
right.
great week, guys, okay? Talk to a teacher today. Hug a teacher. Tell a teacher you appreciate them. Talk to a student and tell them to listen to this show. Tell them we can, yes, we can change the course of education in this 21st century. Do not give up. Again, let your inner voice and your thoughts influence your outer voice and actions. Much love and peace from this staff and the advisory board of White Apple Institute. This is Professor Applewhite signing out. Thank you, all of you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Love and blessings.